Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks and you're a God who calls his people to live out what it means to be your people saved by grace. As we look at this particular commandment, the fourth commandment, we pray, Lord, that you will lead us and guide us to appreciate what you are calling us to do, but more so what you are calling us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Ten Commandments were 10 words that God spoke to Israel at Mount Sinai. They were given in the context of a covenantal relationship that was established first with Abraham and then right through his line to the people of Israel. But they were also given as an act of redemption, or out of an act of redemption, as God had delivered his people from slavery in the land of Egypt. So the Ten Commandments are for God's people. God's people who are in a covenant relationship with him, which of course includes Christians, because we are in a covenant relationship with our God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we do seek to understand the commandments in the light of the coming of Christ and all that he has done and all that he is doing through his Spirit. But we're not to impose them on the rest of society as if there was some form of universal legislation that everyone must obey. However, that does not mean that we can't use the Ten Commandments to engage with those that we work with and play with our families, with our friends, and with our neighbours. But in doing so, we mustn't simply focus on the commandments, but use them to point people to Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the law and fulfilled the prophets. The commandments were given to a people who had been saved by God, and through them, God, that is, through the commandment, God was showing them what life looked like as his people. So over the last three Sundays, we have seen that the first commandment called us to be loyal. Loyal to God alone and have no other gods before him. God must be first in the believer's life. The second commandment called us not to worship God by our own imagination, not to create idols that would either replace him or reproduce him. As Christians, we don't need idols or icons because in Christ we have the true image of God that we can worship. The third commandment called us to take God seriously with our lips and with our lives. This was more than just limiting it to blasphemy or swearing. To dishonor God's name means failing or choosing or refusing to live as God's people. By living out what we are called to be, we become witnesses to the transforming power of the gospel. The commandments call us to put God first in every area of our lives, but as people have been saved through faith in Christ Jesus. So today we look at the fourth commandment, and I'm reading from Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. The New York Times article on this commandment introduces us to another Jewish family, a husband and wife doctor team with two daughters, Dr. Stephen Apardi and his wife, Terry Marks. They live in Manhattan. It's a borough of New York City. Manhattan is the most densely populated borough there is there. It's the busiest, it's the noisiest. The family live in an apartment block on the 20th floor where trains would rumble past every few minutes, shaking the windows, where there'll be screeches and throaty rattles of the subway cars drowning out conversations. And when there's no trains, there's car alarms, there's sirens, there's truck squealings. Welcome to life in Manhattan. So besides all that noise and all that bustle, both doctors work in areas of medicine that is very demanding, and they have seen their share of misery and death. Dr. Pate said this: I needed a place where I could go after what I saw in hospital. I needed to contemplate things beyond the here and now, beyond the material world. A lot happens in my waking hours as a doctor. I see bad things happen to people. I think a lot about the human condition. And so he and his wife sought to rediscover their Jewish roots, and one aspect of that was the Sabbath. Now, their way of doing the Sabbath may not have been strict enough in some areas, but they were, as they were saying, they were looking for a way to keep a spiritual core at the center of their lives, as a family, in the midst of the busyness of life and work. Dr. Mark stated they wanted to come together as a family after they'd been atomized during the week. She said, "There is a counter-cultural quality to this movement. Sabbat is the antidote to popular culture. It is designed to make you think, to fight the forces of materialism, selfishness, acquisition, competitiveness, self-gratification, and entitlement." And in that sense, I think they have grasped some of the benefits of the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath has been very contentious in some Christian circles. Some Christians judge other Christians by if they keep the Sabbath. If they don't keep the Sabbath, then they're saying you're disobeying God's word. Some Christians with the Seventh-day Adventists would say that the Sabbath is Saturday. Other Christians would say, no, it's Sunday, because Jesus rose from the dead and began a new era on that day. If we look at the New Testament, we find that most of the Ten Commandments are repeated in some form or another, but we never see the fourth commandment repeated in the New Testament. Yes, we do see Jesus keeping the Sabbath, Saturday in the Gospel. We see the early church, yes, meeting on Sunday, but also there's an acknowledgement that the Jewish Christians also kept the Sabbath on Saturday. The Apostle Paul's practice was to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath to preach the Gospel. It seemed that the Sabbath might have caused some problems within the apostolic church, between the Jewish and Gentile believers, especially in Rome. I'm reading from Romans 14, where Paul says, "Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord." There is no New Testament passage that clearly sets out that one day should be regarded more highly than another. Yes, just in case you want to jump down my throat, yes, I acknowledge it was the practice, and it's been going on for 2,000 years, that Christians meet on the first day of the week. And we are encouraged not to give up meeting with one another. But there's nothing technically about the day. Also, there is nothing in the New Testament that tells us that the Sabbath day, which was on Saturday, has somehow been changed to Sunday. Paul again warns the Colossians about coming under the judgmental attitude of others in regarding today's in Colossians chapter 2. "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regards to a religious festival or new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." When I was in another denomination, it was very strict in keeping the Sabbath and very judgmental upon those who didn't keep the Sabbath. But I came to realize how people can keep the Sabbath and not miss out. One of the things that we were not supposed to do on the Sabbath was watch television. No television on Sundays. But some people didn't want to miss out on their favourite TV show or on the movie of the week. It goes way back, next century, we say movie of the week. So what would they do? They will record the movie of the week on Sunday night and then watch it on Monday night. And they thought they were keeping the Sabbath. Paul, in writing to the Colossians, tells them that the days are a shadow of the things that were to come and that the reality is in Christ. As Christians, we need to realize that the rest of the Sabbath day points us to what Christ has achieved for us and that we are now to rest in him. Jesus promises us rest if we come to him. Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus, as our reading in Mark indicates, he is the Lord of the Sabbath because he is both creator and redeemer. It is only in him that we find the true rest that the Sabbath points to. The Sabbath day was never to be a burden to God's people. As Jesus reminds us, you know, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. It was supposed to be beneficial. In pointing to Christ, we are reminded that we rest from all our works. You know, those works where we seek to try to get right with God. But since Christ has come, we can rest in his finished work alone. That's where we rest. That's what the Sabbath day is pointing to. So, should Christians keep the Sabbath? Yes and no. No, if the Sabbath is used as a mark of a person's relationship with Jesus. No, if Christians use it to judge and condemn other Christians. And no, if we keep it like the Jews. The Jewish community in Waverley Council, that's in the, I think, the eastern suburbs of Sydney, on their way to synagogue worship had a problem. You see, when they got to the traffic lights, they couldn't press the button to change the signal because that was work. So they requested the council to reprogram the lights on the Sabbath day to make them automatically change to the walk signal. And the council did it. Or there was a time when a Christian friend of mine was doing a Bible study with some Orthodox Jews on the Sabbath. When he arrived, he could hear a ringing noise in the background. What had happened was the oven timer had got stuck. And so it just kept ringing and ringing. And they couldn't stop it because that would have been considered work. So they asked him, a Gentile, to turn it off, which he did. Now, some Christians can be like that because they make up rules and regulations about what you should do and shouldn't do on the Sabbath. Instead of it being a delight, it becomes a burden. So if the Sabbath is used as a marker to judge your Christian walk, then I would say we shouldn't keep it. But that's abuse, isn't it? That's because someone has taken something that God has given us and has abused it. However, if we understand that we now rest in Christ, we can still obey the fourth commandment in terms of the rest that it is calling us to. See, the writer to the Hebrews tells us there's still a rest that is awaiting us. Yes, we now rest in Christ. And that is true. We are justified through faith in Christ. We are accepted by God in Christ. We are sanctified by Christ. So we can rest in him. We don't need to try to please God in a way that we have to win his favor or his approval. But the full reality of that rest is still coming and will come when Jesus returns. Yes, we rest now in Christ, but it is not complete. It will be complete when Christ returns. So in light of that, keeping the Sabbath as a day of rest is an act of faith. Today we live in a world, especially in the West, where people are in bondage to their work. Their whole identity is about work. You know, people are just, you know, workaholics. We have laptops and smartphones, so we get work emails, we get work texts, we get work messages. I do not have email on my phone. We seem to be contactable 24/7. Work has us 24/7. For some people, work has become an idol. The idol of success, the idol of feeding our materialism, the idol of power. Have we, as Christians, brought into the busyness of the world? Don't we think sometimes of our ministers that they're busy? And if they're not busy, then there's a problem because they should be busy. It's what I'm paying them for. Can't let them rest. Has work become a dominant part of your life? Is it always about achieving and about deadlines and doing stuff? I think it really is hard, if not impossible, to have a Sabbath in today's demanding world, in today's busy world, and a world which looks at success. And it could not just be about work. It could be just if you're married with kids, you're taking the kids to sporting events, music events, academic events. I mean, you're just busy on the weekends also. And church. Oh, don't get me started at church. For some people, church is hardly a day of rest. Oh, it can be one of the busiest days of the week and a burden. We are rushing around, achieving this, achieving that, doing that, without stopping. Until we go on holidays. That's when we seem to stop. Unless we take our laptops and our smartphones and start connecting with people because we are so essential. Can we as Christians trust God, the world will still turn, without us? Can we worship God by resting? And that's a challenge. So should Christians keep the Sabbath? Yes, as an act of faith and as an act against our culture. The Sabbath is countercultural. Our culture prizes success, achievement, and making money. And resting, no one's ever won an award for resting. No one's put, you know, up on the pedestal and say, this is a great example of resting. Please follow that. The commandment is very clear. There's a balance. 6 days you are to work, but on the seventh, make it holy. Set it apart. How? By resting. Not by achieving or by doing. See, God has set in motion in the Sabbath day a reminder that we are to worship God, not worship our works, nor worship his good gifts that he's given to us. Did you notice in Exodus that the fourth commandment is linked to creation? Moses says that God worked for 6 days and then rested on the seventh. But in Deuteronomy that Heather read out, it is linked to salvation, linked to God's deliverance of his people. See, the Sabbath day reminds us of two things, that God is the Lord of time. We are to give him our time, not our work time only, but our rest time. It is built, he has built it into the rhythm of life for our good, to rest, to not achieve, to not make any more money. But it's also a reminder that God is our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Deliverer, and that one day we will rest completely in him in a world without sin. So keeping a Sabbath rest reminds us that I'm resting in Christ, that I can look forward to a future rest, a complete rest in a world that is also at rest. So the Sabbath is linked to creation and to redemption, which of course is fulfilled in Christ, who is both the creator and the redeemer. And through him, the new creation will come about. So keeping a Sabbath rest is a sign that we truly understand what justifying faith truly means. That God has done it all for us in Christ. It's by grace. We rest in Christ. And taking that one day out of seven expresses that reality. It's not about our striving, our success, our achievements, but about the cross and the resurrection. It's about enjoying God's good gifts that he's given to us in creation, this world, our families, our friend, and of course delighting and rejoicing in God's great gift of his Son. We don't have to prove ourselves to anyone. The world will keep doing that for 7 days, constantly proving to other people how important they are, how more they can achieve, how valuable they are. We don't have to prove ourselves to anyone because in Christ we have been accepted by the only person who matters, God. Now, how can we interact, say, with our work friends? Well, if we're practicing a Sabbath rest, We can challenge people in relation to their values and goals. At the beginning of this talk, I quoted Dr. Terry Marx's comment on the Sabbath. I'll do it again. There is a counter-cultural quality to this moment. Sabbat is the antidote to popular culture. It is designed to make you think, to fight the forces of materialism, selfishness, acquisition, competitiveness, self-gratification, and entitlement. That's an amazing statement in this world that is so consumed with achieving and being busy that we've chosen one day out of seven, because God commands us to do so, to simply rest in Him, express that rest by enjoying what He's given us. Not wanting to achieve our next goal or our next aim or our next position. Now, which day you choose to keep a Sabbath rest is up to you. Remember, for some people, Sunday is not a day of rest. Pick another day. It's not about a day, it's about a rest. It's the Sabbath rest that we're looking at. How you keep the Sabbath is up to you. No rules, no regulations. Not in the new covenant in Christ. What you do on the Sabbath is up to you. It's not that you must do it on a Saturday or a Sunday, but it's about you understanding that you keep the Sabbath because you trust in God. You rest in Christ, knowing that when Christ returns, you will enter into your rest and rest from all your works. But if you are seeking to keep the Sabbath, and I would encourage you to do so, then you must rest and not work. Because it is by resting that we worship God on the Sabbath. It's by resting that we give God our time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this reminder that we are not about simply achieving and doing, but about being your people. It is so difficult. And I know, Lord, it is so difficult for me. And I pray, Lord, that you will please, first working in me, as working in all of us, that we will not be so caught up with the busyness of work and life, but try to structure it in that pattern you've given us, in a way that our families can be revived and encouraged, that we can be a witness to the world. Help us, Lord, in this. And we ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.